Okay, it's 8 o'clock, Wednesday night. This is Chaim Bravender, and we're going to learn something from the parasha. The story about Abraham buying the Maarat HaMachpelah in Hebron is told at length at the beginning of the parasha of Chayei Sarah. And I think if you look at it carefully, it's hard to understand why the Torah told this story to us in such great detail. What's actually happening is Abram Avinu needed a certain piece of land. He bought it from Bnei Chet. He may have paid a lot of money, but sometimes you pay a large amount of money for things that you really want. So it's not so clear. It's not so clear why the Torah goes out of its way to tell us the story, and to tell us the story at great length. Now, it's true that the Rishonim, the primary commentators on the text of the Torah, the Gemara, the Rishonim, they seem to say that if you can't see an obvious purpose, it may be that there's a moral or ethical lesson to be gained from the story that is being told. But it's not really the case. I mean, it's not clear that there's an ethical lesson that could be learned from the fact that Abraham Avinu may have overpaid for something that he wanted very badly in order to honor his wife. I mean, all of that seems to be kind of reasonable to me. So let's learn first. Let's go and remind ourselves of the story, right? The story begins by Yaakov Abraham. Abraham got up. Me'al Pnei Meito, that's, after Shiva. I mean, you get up. And he was there with the dead body. Vayedaber el Bnei Chet Lemor, and he took the opportunity to speak to Bnei Chet. Took the opportunity to speak to Bnei Chet. Just trying to get okay. Vayakum Abraham al Pnei Meito. And he spoke to the people, this community, this nation called Chet, the people of Chet. And he says to them, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, is a kind of a formal way of introducing himself. He says, I'm a good citizen. I don't annoy anybody. I don't make it difficult for you. But I have a particular question. Tnuli achuzat kever. I would say this request for an achuzat kever, for a place where he could bury his wife, bekbara meiti milfanai. That's what he says, and I'll be able to bury my dead wife. I'll be able to do it. I will be able to do it. I mean, it seems like a perfectly reasonable thing. We could add to the fact that we know that in that world, people were buried in odd places, like somebody owns a piece of land. So you could bury people any place. They didn't have, outside of cities, they didn't have cemeteries. So it could be that Abraham Avinu understood that he needed the Maarat HaMachpelah, he needed a structure, he needed a place that we could come back to again and again, because there was a long line of clients who had to be buried together in the Maarat HaMachpelah. So right now we're dealing with Bnei Chet, with the community of Chet. Vayanu Bnei Chet et Abraham le'mor lo, they said to him, Shema'eni Adoni, listen to us. Nesi Elohim ata b'tochenu. You are kind of highly regarded. Nesi Elohim, you are the president, God's president in our midst. You represent God. B'mivchak kvareinu kvaret meitecha. You could bury your wife in the place that we usually bury people. Ish mimenu et kivro. Lo yichla mimcha mikvor meidech. You can bury in, and in the burial sites that we have, you can bury your wife in any of them. So of course they didn't get it. Vayakom Avraham vayishtachu la'am ha'aretz l'bnei chet. He got up and he bowed down. You know, like he said, just a second. You know, I want to say something. If you agree to bury my dead wife as I want, I understand that I have to talk to Ephron. Ephron is the leader of the B'nai Chet. He has a name, Ephron ben Sochar. That's his name. And then Avram says to them, I have my eye on a particular place. I don't want to bury my wife in a field, someplace that will sort of disappear. But I want to bury her in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and that's why I'm here. Ma'arat HaMachpelah, a place that is going to remain. It'll be there. I'll always be able to go back to it. I'll be able to kind of reconnect through the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, Asher Lo, which belongs to him, Asher B'Ktzei Sadehu, which is at the edge of his field, so it won't even bother him to give it up. B'Kesef Malei Yitnena Li B'Tochechem L'Achuzat Kever. Kesef Malei sounds like I don't want there to be any question about the sale. I don't want it to be anybody to come up later on and say, well, you didn't really pay the right amount. That's Kesef Malei. The Kesef Malei, Yitnen Ali B'tochechem L'Achuzat Kever. So a kever is a burial place, and achuzah is something that you're holding on to. It's something that you own. I want an achuzat kever, and I want the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. That's what. And we think that we understand why Avraham Avinu wanted the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. He wanted a permanent site that you could refer to. He knew that Yaakov Avinu would want to come back to be buried in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and then Yosef would want to be buried in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And of course, according to Chazal, even Adam Arishon, the first man and his wife, they were also buried in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. So that the language that Avraham Avinu is talking is totally different than the language of the B'nai Chet. I mean, they, you know, sometimes it happens that people speak different languages, but they kind of make believe that they understand each other. They make believe. So we're up to here. Pasuk Yud. Ephron Yoshev B'toch B'nei Yechet. So Ephron is waiting to be called, though he's a big shot. Vayan Ephron Achiti et Avraham Vaznei B'nei Chet. And he responded to Avram's request, L'chol Ba'ei Shar Eiro, and to all those who came to Shar Ha'ir, the gate to the city was the place where they built the supermarkets and the canyons were built in those places. Vayishtachu Avraham lefneim ha'aretz, and Avraham Avinu, I'm sorry, Yud Aleph, lo adanish manini atasaden natati lecha v'amara asher bo lecha netatia v'inei b'nei ami netatia lecha kibar meitecha. And this becomes the pasuk this will work. Things are getting better, actually. Okay. Ephron says, Lo asaden natati lecha. Take the field. V'amarasha bo lecha natatia. Take it for nothing, I guess. Take it for nothing. So it's hard to know whether he means it. Well, this is a kind of an introduction to a way of doing the sale. You know, it's not over. You say, oh, this is perfect for you. This is, don't talk about a price. Don't even imagine that the price is going to make any difference. But at the end, there's a price. At the end, there is a price. But this statement here by Ephron, this statement here is a statement that could be construed as meaning, take it for nothing. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayishtachu Abraham Lifnei Am Haaretz, and Abraham Avinu again bowed down by the Baal, as they bowed down to the Am Haaretz, to the people. And he turned away from them. That's how you do it. You bow and you go off to the side by the Baal Ephron. He spoke to Ephron. He, Avram Avinu, spoke to Ephron. I want you to pay attention to what I have to say. I want to pay for the field. And I will bury my dead wife there. So Avram Avinu like responds to this offer that Ephron made, which may not really be an offer at all, but it's just a kind of way of talking. And the expectation is that Avram Avinu will say what he said. He says, no, I don't want it for free. I want to be able to pay. I want it to be mine. I want it to go into my property, become part of my property. Pasuk Yudalid, Vayad Ephron et Avraham le'mor lo, and Ephron, like it was his turn, it was Ephron's turn. He said, Adonishma eini eretz haba ma'ot shekel kesef b'eini u'beincha mahi. So he says, you know, you remember I said you should take it for nothing? Well, you know, 400 shekel kesef between us, that's like nothing. Not of any great importance, but v'eitcha kevon. Vayishma Avraham el Ephron, and Avraham heard the new offer by Ephron, right? The offer that was 400 and not nothing. Vayishkol Avraham Ephron et hakesef asher diber baznei b'nei chet arba me'ot shekel kesef over lasocher. So that when Ephron made the offer, all of the people of b'nei chet, or people of b'nei chet, wanted to see how he's going to do, how he's going to make this work. And he says, Avraham Avinu paid him about Mo Shekel Kesem over La Socher. And that's basically the end of the story. There are two more psukim. Pasuk Yuzayin, by Yaakov stay Ephron, Asher Machpela, Asher Lifnei Mamre, Sadev, Amare, Asher Bobachol, Asher Sadev, Asher Bobachol, Gulot Zaviv. In other words, again, by Yaakov. Right, the story starts with the word Vayakom. You see it above? Vayakom Abraham. Abraham got up, and he went to do something, to get a place to bury his wife. And here, the end of the story, there's the same verb, Vayakom stay Ephron, and it happened. The field that he bought became his. It'll give you a little bit of a location. The place for the grave, and then there's a little field around it, and that all became part of Avraham Avinu's property. As far as we know, it was the property that he owned, actually, that he actually owned. And then Pasuk Yud Chet, Avraham Lemiknele Neven Echet, he could use it for grazing his smaller animals. The end of the story, that he buried Sarah in that place that he bought. Ishto, Sarah Ishto, Baratz Dea Machpelal Pnei Mamre, Hi Chevron Beretz Kenan. So that's what it is. Okay, so like I'm looking for a hero. I don't find a hero. I think Abraham is doing a good thing, but the fact that he had to buy the Marat HaMachpelah may be taken as like Abraham is not yet the real owner. not yet the real owner of the property of Eretz Yisrael, which was promised to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's yours. It's yours. And it may explain a little bit about why, when there was a famine, the beginning of Lech Lecha, the parasha of Lech Lecha, that Avraham Avinu ran away to Mitzrayim. Because it wasn't really his. If God had offered him Eretz Canaan, but actually given it to him in some way, then he might have stayed. But since it wasn't his, there was no guarantee that if he stayed, nothing terrible would happen. So Avraham Avinu left. But I mean, this is all speculation. Speculation of a certain type. But I'm looking at the story. I'm trying to find who the hero is. So Ephron, he's not a hero. And the B'nai Chet, they're not heroes. They didn't do anything too remarkable. They didn't do anything too remarkable. So how does Rashi change our perception of what's going on here? You look at... can we scroll a little, Ezra? Rashi. Scroll up. Okay. Beni v'necha. You see what happened? There it is. Beni v'necha. So Ephron says something to Avraham Avinu. You see, Pasuk Tedvav. Adonishma eni eretz habama o tshekel kesem v'niu v'encha mahi. I mean, we're talking about insignificant amount of money. It's like everyone is saying, look, I offered it to you for free, but this is like for free. Right? So Rashi restates it. The same thing. Rashi that doesn't change it, but he restates it. He says, Ben Shnei Ohavim Kamonu, between two, I mean, it's like a little sarcastic, I think. Two lovers, like you, Avraham, and me, Ephraim, Kabonu. Mahi, what's this money, this transfer of money? It's like nothing, you know, like if your brother or your sister asks you for a small loan, you give it to them right away. You don't even think about it too much. That's what Ephron said. So Rashi is explaining that Ephron is using a special kind of language in order to say, well, you know, there's really no issue here. Just, you know, we're two people. We live together in the same area. We're at peace with each other. So just pay the money and it's yours. Ela hanachet amecher. Put the money on the table. Then the next pasuk tetzayin beishma Avraham Ephron. So Avraham accepted the Ephron position. Vayishkol Avraham Ephron et hakesev asher diber basnei b'nei chet. He says, okay, I'm going to give you the money. Abama o shekel kesev over lasocher. I'm going to give you 400 shekel. I'll give you 400 shekel. The Rashi says, Vayishkol Avraham Lefron. Lefron. You see that word Lefron? Ayin pei resh nun. Rashi said, in this case, it's chaser vav. You see, for example, in Pasuk Yud, Vayan Ephron. You see Ephron? Ayin pei resh vav nun. In our case, in our pasuk, the word Ephron, the name Ephron, has missing a vav. So that reminds you of something. It's like it's a code, it's a signal. It's a signal. He says, Chaser vav, it's missing that vav. How come? Levisha amar harbe, vafilu ma'at lo asa. He said, he talked big. He didn't even do anything. He didn't do anything small. Shenatan mimel nenu shkalim gidolim, Shein Kantarin. I'll explain to you what Kantarim are. In those days, different people would mint money, different leaders would mint money, and in the minted money, the value of the money was the silver that was in the money. They may have also made gold coins. The value of the money, so if you had a shekel, you knew it was had value because it had silver in the coin. I don't want to talk about American money, but I still, I still remember when you could get a dollar with a silver string in it, a paper dollar, the silver string was worth a dollar. It's hard to deal with that question. But you know that the people in different places minted coins called shekel. But because they were different, the weights were different, you didn't really know what you had. So if you went to a store, if you had money from down south and you went to a store up north and you bought something, you offered him money that you got down south, he couldn't take it because he didn't know how much it was worth. So there was this institution of Shulchani, a money changer in those days. You came with the money from down south. You gave it to him. He waited. He did whatever he knew how to do. And he gave you up north money with which you could buy things on the spot. So kantarin, the word kantarin, represents a very weighty coin. Like a regular shekel is worth much less than a kantarin shekel. So when Ephron said, 400. Just give me 400. So he could have meant 400 of the cheaper shekelim. But he didn't, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, you see, Veshkol Avraham said, Vav, Vavisha Mar Harbei, Afilu Ma'at Lo Asa. He said, I'm not, you take it for nothing. He didn't even do a little bit because he could have said 400 of the cheaper shekelim. But Natal Mimenu Shekelim Gidolim Shehem Kantirim. How do we know that? Shneemar. It says in the Pasuk, the next Pasuk, Over LaSucher. Over LaSucher. Over LaSucher means it's internationally accepted. You could take these coins and use them any place. Shem Mitkablim Kebishekel B'Kol Makom. That this shekel is worth what it's worth every place in the world, right? B'kol makom, yesh makom sheshiklehem gidolim, shehem kantarim. And there are places where there are big shkalim, and they have a special name. Their name is kantarim, right? And therefore, here's Ephron. We just made Ephron into a bad guy, according to Rashi. We made Ephron into a bad guy because Ephron said, take it for nothing. And then he said, about Mo Shekel, and he still could have said, the cheaper Shekel. He said, no. He said, Ovela Socher, I want the Shekel that works every place in the world, the most expensive Shekel that there is. And this, of course, is also based out of Gemara. Can we scroll a little bit? Ezra. Great. Here we are. The Baba Metzia. Baba Metzia da Pesayinam and Al Ktiv. The Gemara is talking about Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu, when he met the angels in last week's parasha, he said, "Vakhapat lechem. I'll take some bread." Uchtiv el abakarats Avraham. That he said something, a minor thing. They have a sandwich. I have lettuce and tomato sandwich on toast. That's what Avram Avinu said. But he himself ran to the meat bearing animals. Amar Rav Elazar, mikan shetzadikim omrim ma'at vosim harbei. And this formulation says that. Tzadikim, Avram Avinu was a tzaddik. Avram Avinu was a tzaddik because he said, I'll bring you a sandwich, and he brought him a steak. Avalaza adds, we can shetzadikim omrim me'ad vosim habe. This is a remarkable statement. Omrim me'ad vosim habe. Tzadikim, I mean, okay, it's true. Avraham Avinu did a nice thing. He said lettuce and tomato sandwich on toast, that's not good enough. Let's bring him a steak. Okay, but that makes him into a tzadik. My goodness. Tzadikim omrim me'ad vosim habe. Mishaim. So there's the mirror image. How do you know that? Ephron, he was a Russia. He was really a bad guy. Why? At first he said, I want 400 shkalim. That at the end, Ephron took Kantere. I mean, it could be that that's what he meant. I mean, I don't understand exactly how this Gemara works. But you know that in Pirkei Avot, or you might know. Pirkei Avot, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tetvav, Shammai Omer. Asei Toratcha Keva, first thing he said. You should learn Torah. But the second thing is, Emor Ma'at Vasei Harbei. Shabbai. Emor, he says, Shabbai is supposed to be very tough, very difficult, very hard to deal with. Shabbai. Shabbai said, Emor Ma'at Vasei Harbei. Okay, that's connected to the story of Avram Avinu, who was Omer Ma'at and Osei Harbei. I wanted to remind you that in the Gemara, at the beginning of Kiddushin, this story about Avram and Ephron is brought as the kind of underpinning or the place that we learn that the kiddushin that a man and the woman undergo when they get married is actually an act of kinyan, of purchase. And somehow, Abraham and Ephron are the models for marriage. Even though Ephron turns out to be a bad guy. That's what the Gemara says. That's the Gemara. Baba Metzia, Da Pei Zayin Amad Aleph. And the other thing that I quoted is in the Gemara Kedushin, Da Pei Zayin Amad Aleph. So I want to, we have to remember these things. We have to remember them shortly. It seems to me that one of the great lessons that we have learning Torah is that words are really difficult. Even when they seem to us de facto to be so simple, they are very difficult. Adam HaRishon, the first man and his wife, they received one directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't eat. Don't eat. It's not a very complicated or confusing directive. It seems like the easiest thing in the world. Don't eat this, eat something else. And yet, they were able, according to Chazal, to allow that directive to become confusing in their minds, confuse them. You mean don't eat, but you could touch? But you could, if you touch, something will happen or won't happen. In any event, they were able to create confusion about the meaning of words, about the meanings of words. When you learn the Gemara, if somebody learns the Gemara, I mean, it's interesting that the Gemara has retained has retained endless numbers of differences of opinion. And those differences of opinion are very often connected to words, to the way we understand a pasuk in the Torah, the way we understand it. Should we understand it this way? Should we understand it that way? Very, very. I mean, this is how we live. That's the world that we live in. We live in the world where we try to get to the bottom of it. We try to understand what it really says. And we all know that that understanding about what it really says changes. 1,000 years ago, 900 years ago, 800 years ago, we're not just involved in a kind of rote learning that that could be done, but we are involved in an ongoing attempt to clarify. We use all the tools that are available, but we want to just clarify what it is that the Torah is telling us. And so we become careful about what we said and what we say and how we relate. It becomes, I mean, our need to be clear about things is very much part of what we do when we learn. So it seems to me that when Shammai said, Emor ma'at v'aseh arbeh, that's what he was talking about. He's saying, Emor harbeh, someone who says a lot, it creates confusion. He often rejects what he said later on. He restates it again and again. But Emor ma'at, that's a statement that refers to a person who has considered carefully what it is that he wants to say and how what he says is important. So Ephron in the story represents, we say here, Ephron, Meikar Aktiv, Arba Mot Shekel Kesef. First he said 400 Shekel Kesef, but he didn't mean it. V'lachasov Ktiv, Vayishma Avraham Lefron, Vayishkod Avraham Lefron, Et HaKesef, Asher Diber, 400 Shekel Kesef, Oveh LaSucher. It's Avram Avinu who had to define what Ephron was saying. Ephron couldn't define it because he said too much. He tried to create confusion. But Avram Avinu was the person who had to clarify and had to determine what he was saying. And Avram Avinu, when he went to serve the angels, right? Vela Bakar Rats Avraham, Avram Avinu said first, Vekhapat Lechem, I'll bring a sandwich. Because he wasn't sure what he would be able to do. He wasn't certain about how he would be able to treat his guests. So he didn't want to disappoint them. He thought that they were people that they would eat. Right? Mikan shetzadikim omrim ma'at. The tzadikim don't speak beyond what they really can say. And the reason that that makes them tzadikim is because that's what we try to do when we learn Torah. It was your people who are like that. People who don't say what they shouldn't say or that they were not interested in saying. Those people who don't say extra words, those are the people who are great scholars. Those are the people who understand that they're looking for a unique interpretation. And that the unique interpretation becomes part of who you are. And so finally, Shammai said in a kind of theoretical thing, Emor ma'at v'aseh harbeh. Now, it may be that that derives from Avraham Avinu. It may be that it derives from bringing food. And that all may be correct. But it lives on its own. Emor ma'at. When you want to say something, say it clearly, say it in a manner that cannot be misunderstood, right? And then if you can oseh harbe, you get more and more out of the words that you use. And so in the story here, it turns out that Ephron is the bad guy. And of course, Avram Avinu is the good person, but it's not because he wanted to bury his wife. That's something that we would have expected from Avram Avinu. But because Avram Avinu was willing to take over the conversation between himself and Ephron and determine what Ephron actually said. The Shemi Shmuel points out that a kinyan, any kind of purchase, creates a relationship between the buyer and the seller. He said this in a kind of comment that he makes, and he says that's why Chazal thought that the purchase of Chevron, the purchase of a Marata Machpelah, is a good model for life, because what Ephron wanted, according to the Shem Yishmuel, was to connect to Avram Avinu. Because he says every time you make a sale for anything, there's a buyer and a seller, and some of the buyer and the seller have a relationship with each other. And that's why they used kinyan. They thought that kinyan was the appropriate kind of visible way of indicating that two people wanted to have a connection, a permanent kind of connection with each other. And therefore, the story of Marata Machpelah becomes the rationale for kiddushin between a man and a woman. Have a good Shabbos. All the best. Be well.